Vegas Golden Podcast. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Justin Emerson today, where we can talk about the Golden Knights having chance after chance after chance. And I'm not talking about the Gila monster. I'm talking about clinching a playoff spot.
They got to do it eventually, right?
Yeah, it seems like we're recording on Thursday. It seems like every day this week there's been one way or another where they could clinch a playoff spot. Not always in their control. Have fallen just a little bit short every night. I mean, look, there's almost for sure they're going to be playing at San Jose, it looks like, now in the first round of the playoffs. But it would be nice just to get that little mark next to your name in the standings to get that clinch, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, they had the chance against St. Louis and then came up short. And then if Arizona would have lost to Chicago on Tuesday, they won. And then yesterday, they were in Denver and couldn't get that one done either, though. They came pretty close at the end. It turned in from what looked like it might turn into a blowout, turned into quite a game there at the end. But the Golden Knights, as of right now, can still miss the playoffs. It would take Arizona winning their last five games and the Golden Knights losing their last five in regulation. So, yeah, I think they're going to make it, Case.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is all just official language. They're not in it yet, but it's almost no way they're going to miss it. You mentioned you were at the Pepsi Center last night.
Yep, I was there last night. Flew in way too early this morning.
4-3, but you're decked out in Diamondbacks gear for opening day. So that's why you had to fly. That might have been part of the reason why you flew in.
I got the jersey and the hat going. It's the same one I've worn for opening day, like the last 10 years, some odds, something like that. So yeah, it's good. I do love me some baseball, as I mentioned. I feel like quite frequently I'll drop a baseball reference into this podcast, just talking about free agency or contracts or whatever, but I'm a big baseball guy. But
luckily, you won't have to worry about clinching any playoff spots year in Major League Baseball.
Probably not. I'm not too optimistic, but you got to play.
Would baseball be your number two sport? I'm assuming hockey's one.
Yeah, I grew up on baseball. It's what for a long time, it was my favorite sport, and then I realized that baseball's every day, man. I wouldn't want to cover that. Like, good on the baseball writers, but baseball, hockey, and the seasons overlap pretty perfectly, too. As soon as one ends, the other starts.
Well, you're a rare breed. I got to think there's, like, below, definitely single-digit percent. I would take the under 10% Americans, hockey, and baseball as their two favorite sports.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's the other two major sports that if you ask people that it's a lot of football and basketball, but I am a rare breed, Case. You know that.
Well, we somehow got off on all this by talking about you being in Colorado. So you said, I mean, Vegas made the game interesting in the end. It was 3-0 through the first period and a half or so. What brought the Golden Knights back, and what looks good for them going forward?
Yeah, but, you know, pretty good game. I mean, they fell down early, and the intensity just wasn't there early on. It was 2-0 after the first period. They looked a little lifeless, and, you know, they played well after that. And, you know, they just brought the intensity a little bit too late. Not the best week for the Golden Knights. I think I had picked them to go 3-1. I think you had them at 2-1-1 or 2-2 or something like that.
Yeah,
They beat the Jets and then lost to everybody else. I don't think they beat up on the Jets. And then they lost in overtime at home to Detroit, lost to St. Louis and Colorado. A 1-2-1 week for the Golden Knights. I wasn't predicting that, but what you gonna do?
Yeah, three straight losses now. Going in to tomorrow night, where they will return to T-Mobile Arena after that brief two-game spell against the Wild. But even with things going wrong, as you pointed out, for our big topic today, we wanted to kind of just discuss the top line coming on.
Man, they look good.
Maybe not all year. The top line hasn't looked quite as efficient as last year, and now it seems at the right time they're kind of clicking into place. And it seemed like when the second line came together and was getting all the applause with Mark Stone and before Pacioretty went down and Stastny, it seems like the first line guys are like, hey, we're here too, and they're on quite a tear.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look back going to that February 28th game against Florida, the top line has generated 45 points. Marchessault 15, Carlson 14, and Riley Smith 16. They had that game in San Jose last week where Smith and Marchessault each had 4 points. So this line is clicking in a way that it just hasn't all year and did a lot last year. I mean, you take out Mark Stone and you look at the top scorers just because Stone hasn't been on the team all year. Marchessault leads the team in points. Carlson second. Smith is third. So kind of a return to form for that top line. I think they're playing over the last month or so the way that people expected them to all season. And if they can carry that into, you know, next week and deep into the summer, I mean, Golden Knights are going to be in real good shape if this line keeps playing the way that they have been.
not to spoil something we will be talking about more later covering, but you're Gerard Gallant, and it's coming down to an end of the game. You have to get a goal. Who are you more confident in, this first line or the second line, assuming full health?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, he does, like, take last night, for instance. They had a 6-on-5 situation. They had Stone and Stastny out there, and they also had Marchessault and Carlson, and then Tuck were their five forwards with Shea Theodore playing the point. So at the end, they like to have those offensive shoot-first guys out there. So, you know, I guess I kind of danced around your question a little bit, but, you know, the way that they're playing right, I don't know. You got to take any of them you can get, I guess. I mean, Max Pacioretty's hurt, so that second line isn't quite at full strength. So right now, I think I'd take that Marchessault, Carlson, Smith line. But, I mean, you look at it the way when Pacioretty was healthy, the way that that line was playing. And I think that it's a good problem to have if you're trying to choose which of the two lines is better when you've got, you know, a top six that is as good, I would say, as any top six in the league. I'd match them up against Tampa's, against anybody's. I really, really like these top two lines for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I might stop just short of Tampa, maybe some of the Eastern Conference teams, but Western Conference, I mean, there's a good case you can make it is the best, and what a luxury it is to have to go into the playoffs. I think to answer my own question, I think those last three or four words I threw in there, that assuming full health, I still think I'm a little more confident in the second line. I just think it is those guys complement each other so well, and if they're all playing at their best, I just think despite this little run, I think I like the Pacioretty Stastny Stone combo if I have to have something.
Yeah, but I think that's fair, and I think they've been doing it for a lot longer, not together obviously, because they've all been teammates for all of, you know, 4 weeks or whatever we've been at. But I mean, these all three of those guys are established stars in the league. But at the same time, Carlson, Marchessault, Smith, they've played together for, you know, what are we at now, 150 games that they've played together, and they've looked real good. Particularly lately, what's really impressed me has been you know, Riley Smith of the group is kind of, last year he was more the distributor and letting Carlson and Marchessault finish with the goals, but over that time span that we were talking about, Smith has 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 goals. So, you know, 9 of his 16 points have been putting the puck in the net. He's been shooting a lot more lately, and I think that's part of the reason for the success, is that, you know, teams could know that, you know, Smith was going to distribute, and this year he just is not. He's, you know, he's distributing, of course, that hasn't changed, but he's shooting more, and I think it's added an extra element to that line, I guess, is a long way of getting to where I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Certainly seems like he's playing his best of the year. He does still lead the team in assists with 33. Mm-hmm. Marchessault and Tuck right behind him, 32 and 31. That's always a thing I'm interested in looking at as the season winds down, who tops off these categories. I'm feeling a little hurt by it right now because I loved Max Pacioretty. I was the biggest proponent of him at 3-1 to be the leading goal scorer. Yeah, he's 16 games less than the two guys in front of him, has two less goals. And are we going to see him on the ice again? What's going on here? I need like a couple hat tricks.
You know that this team notoriously quiet about the injuries. We haven't had an update on Pacioretty. I would imagine, I actually don't know, because with some of the guys like Belmar and Theodore have both been held out recently, and you kind of got the feeling that they were okay, and it was just more like, you know, if they're playing at 95%, let them rest up and get to 100. But when Pacioretty left, it looked like he was hurt, and it looked bad, and the Golden Knights were fearing the worst, and, you know, they said that it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. So I would imagine, you know, a guy like Pacioretty, the dude's played in a million playoff games when he was with Montreal. I don't think that he's going to need that grace period that we talked about. I think it was a couple of podcasts ago with Eric Holla. You'd like to see him get some regular season games to get his feet underneath him. But Pacioretty, I mean, if he doesn't play the rest of the regular season and he's ready to go for the playoffs, you'll take that.
Absolutely. I think they're making the right choice. It just doesn't mean that I can't grouse about it a little bit for the gambling perspective. But while we're on this topic of season-long futures and things, the Golden Knights actually did clinch one thing last night. Kind of the consensus point total, closed at 100.5. They will now go under for certain after losing to the Avalanche.
They can match down at 100. I mean, you're far more of the betting guy than I am, but did you have the under ticket?
Just a little bit of an interesting wrinkle. I may have had an under. I may have said, I think at one point it got to 102.5, and I said, this is just outrageous. This is like the best under ever. I told a bunch of people that. It actually looked in danger for a little bit. They were really on fire. Look, I think they've had a great year. I just think it's an interesting thing to point out. I know the sports books, not exactly in the position they were last year, where everything the Golden Knights did well was a disaster. But I know they had more over money, so they're winning some of the Golden Knight fan money back by the under coming in.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I mean, what interests me is that the Golden Knights are almost certainly going to finish in third place in the Pacific. They might finish in fifth place in the Western Conference. They might still be one of the teams that I'd be looking at as a favorite to win the Western Conference still, just the way that they've been playing lately. And you look at some of the playoff odds about teams going to the final, and you know, they really like St. Louis is really coming up with some of these odds that I've seen from places like The Athletic, and Money Puck does a really good job of it. They love the Golden Knights, and so I think, you know, they may finish with fewer points than last year, but I guess it doesn't really matter all that much, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and if you look locally, of course
you had an under ticket.
Yeah, you're always going to pay a tax on the Golden Knights locally just because everyone's betting them. I'm looking right now, let's see the Western Conference odds in Las Vegas at the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. The Golden Knights are actually the current favorite.
There
again,
you go.
That
there
has...
You go. Yeah,
they would be second. I think there's a case to be made they could be second or third either way, but it's because everyone's betting on them. But they're 11-4 to come out of the West. Currently the favorite.
Doesn't seem like a great value.
You know, currently the favorite over Calgary at 9-2, though. So pretty crazy. Actually, San Jose is also 3-1. So I think it scares me a little bit. We came to this consensus last week, too, but everyone seems like they're looking at that side of what's going to be the bracket, that it's going to be Vegas, San Jose, or Calgary. They certainly look like the three best at... I guess as currently constructed.
Which is rough, because Vegas and San Jose are going to play each other in the first round, and if they don't, well, actually, I'm not sure that there's a way that... Well, I guess technically San Jose could still catch Calgary.
It's got to be like 99.9%
sure
those two are playing.
And, you know, 99% sure that they're going to be playing San Jose, and 99% sure it's going to be in San Jose. So, you know, it's rough. It's just kind of a draw of the how the playoff format's set up. I think it's a bigger issue in the Eastern Conference right now, where Boston and Toronto are going to meet in the first round, despite Boston having the second most points in the league, and Toronto having the third most fourth most in the East. So basically the number two and four teams in the Eastern Conference are going to meet each other in the playoffs, which is unfortunate, but you know, it's the same thing. I mean, the Pacific Division, I think, is just a little bit better than the Central is this year, and you know, Vegas and San Jose are the unfortunate recipients of having to have a real tough first round matchup.
Absolutely. A nice natural transition. We'll get back to the Golden Knights, but we'll just go straight to the escaping the fortress section here. We wanted to talk a little bit about the Eastern Conference because we've kind of not paid as much attention to it, of course, focusing on the Golden Knights. But
West Coast bias.
I think certainly you look at those first round matchups and the two that stand out, as you kind of hinted at, Vegas, San Jose, and Boston, Toronto. Toronto seems like a team that was so hot at the beginning of the year. They've struggled a little bit now. Boston is on fire. I know Toronto lost in a shootout last night to Philadelphia.
First shootout of the season for the Maple Leafs. They came so close
to
being the first team since the shootout was initiated.
I did not realize that. Crazy.
Yeah, so close.
So I can't believe Boston at 103 points right now. Second most in the league. They got super hot at the end of last year, too, but ran into Tampa, I think, in the playoffs. So that will be a great series. But there's a lot still to be determined in the East. That final wild card, you've got three teams within 2 points, 3 points of each other right now. Carolina at 91, Montreal and Columbus hot on their heels. Columbus at 88. The Blue Jackets, it feels like, going to be kind of disastrous if they miss the playoffs after they were so aggressive to try to amp up their team at the trade deadline. What do you make of this Eastern Conference race right now?
Well, I think calling it a disaster would be kind of an understatement. I mean, they went and got Matt Duchene, they went and got Ryan Zingle, and not only that, but they held on to their own potential rentals, I guess, in Sergei Bobrovsky and Artemi Panarin, and right now, not in a playoff spot. They do have a game in hand on Montreal and play them tonight in what could basically be that game for that last wild card spot. You know, if Montreal wins, they're going to have a 4-point lead. If Columbus wins, they're going to be tied with a game in hand with the first tiebreaker, that regulation and overtime wins. So, you know, Columbus is, they went for it. And you got to kind of respect what they did. But if you're going to do that, for the love of God, you better make the playoffs at the very minimum. And what's brutal for Columbus, too, is let's say that they do get into the playoffs as that second wild card. they draw Tampa. So, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting offseason regardless for Columbus, because I think I'm just going with the assumption that Tampa Bay is going to win its first round playoff matchup. I don't think that's the hottest it takes. You know, so that's kind of like, how do you judge the Blue Jackets, who have never won a playoff round in franchise history? They looked at it the trade deadline and said, we're going to go for it. This is what we're going to do. And now, even if they get into the playoffs, they've got to face maybe the best team in the last two decades to come into the NHL. So just a brutal, brutal draw for Columbus. But, you know, I think that's kind of the fairness of it. They're going to have the fewest points in the East if they make the playoffs, presumably. I guess Carolina still could or whatever. But, I mean, they make the playoffs as that second wild card. You face the best team in a real 1-8 matchup. So it's tough for Columbus, but I guess if you're going to go out and get those players, you better win more games.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation because, I mean, really, if they miss it, and maybe even if they don't miss it, it could usher in kind of a whole new period of the franchise with all the free agent rumors. Yeah, with all the things swirling. So that will be an interesting one to watch. I still think I haven't looked at any of the playoff odds. They are 2 points back, which is tough, but I think they should beat Montreal tonight. Again, we're recording on Thursday. They're about a -150 favorite. And Carolina also plays into this big time. They are finishing a home-and-home with Washington. So I don't know. You could convince me any two of those three teams are making it. I think Carolina and Columbus are the best. But
I would agree with you on that one. I want Carolina just because they're fun, and I want Columbus just because it'd be heartbreaking if they don't. But also, like, in a sadistic way, kind of funny. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm torn.
What do you have against Columbus? Those poor, suffering fans never could win a series. I thought last year for sure. I wasn't betting, but
they were up 2-0 on the Caps.
Yeah, I thought that was the best. I thought that was the best bet of the first round. I think they might have been like a +120 underdog or something. I thought they were better than Washington. We saw how that turned out. Washington wins the Stanley Cup. And while we're talking about the East, we already mentioned Tampa and Boston kind of looming large over everyone else, but you picked Washington when we looked at the midseason betting odds. They were the favorite, but you said you were confident in them. It looks like right now they should take the Metro. They have 98 points. Pittsburgh and New York Islanders behind them at 95. But you got to be feeling good about Washington. And to me, it seems like the Capitals are in a better spot going into this playoffs than they were last year. And we know what happened last year in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And, when we were talking about those midseason odds, we were looking at the Metro race because we were talking about the Islanders at the time who were in first place. And I'm like, yeah, I like the Caps. And somebody took Columbus. But
it was a good price. It was like
But I will say, just to knock my own self down a peg, I also said that Alex Tuck was going to stay on that same.
Yeah, we actually split.
Goal.
I think that was the same podcast. I had Tuck under 10.5 goals.
Yeah, I mean, he would need 7 goals in the last 5 games of the season. So I don't like my odds of getting that one. But Washington, like you said, in good shape. Playoff draw right now, if the playoffs started, they would have Carolina in the first round and then the Pittsburgh Islanders winner in the second round and then the Atlantic winner in the third round. So pretty similar, I would say, to last year. And it's interesting because Washington comes in now. Like, they've done it, and they had the choker label, and the Ovi can't win in the playoffs, and they can't beat the Penguins. So now that they've done it, I wonder if it's just kind of, if they lose in the first or the second round, it's like, it happens, you know, or if now that they've done it, it's like, okay, we can do it. Let's go out and do it again. So, I think that they are, Pittsburgh, they've been playing well lately. I don't think that they're as good as last year. I think you're correct in that regard. Washington in good shape. I still think anybody outside, I mean, the odds on favorite are obviously going to be Tampa to come out of the East, but I mean, you know, the way hockey playoffs work, I'll still take the field over Tampa Bay, though I won't take any specific team over Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. Makes sense. So we'll transition back into the Golden Knights and look at the week ahead. 5 games left remaining in the regular season. 3 of them coming until the time we will podcast next, including, I've already mentioned, Minnesota on Friday at T-Mobile, then to San Jose in an almost certain playoff preview, and then a home game against Edmonton on Monday. So 3 games in 4 days. Interesting stretch. Who will we see? What? Like I said, it's kind of tough right now because everyone seems slotted into where they are. Yeah. But if you have to sell these games to me, the set of games to make them interesting. What are you saying?
Minnesota is fighting for its playoff life right now. They're going to come out intense, and this is a team that Vegas has struggled with. They were swept last year in the three-game series. They beat them in a shootout this year, and then they lost in their game at T-Mobile Arena. So for whatever reason, Minnesota's system just doesn't match up well with Vegas. So that's going to be one that should be a close game. I'll sell you on that one. San Jose, Golden Knights looking for a chance to sweep the road series with a team that they're going to have to open up with maybe on the road in the playoffs. So it'll be a good test. And they beat them up when they were in San Jose last week. So can they do that again? And then on Monday, Connor McDavid's coming to town. It's a game that's going to mean almost nothing as far as playoff races go. But, you know, you're going to face high-skilled players in the playoffs. And going just down the rest of the stretch, after that Edmonton game, you've got Arizona and the Kings. And Arizona's better than Edmonton this year. But they're just not going to, of course, you're not going to see any player as good as Connor McDavid. But just for the rest of the year after that Edmonton game, you're just not going to see that kind of high-skilled all-star player every year. Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty, of course, play for the Kings, but, you know, they're more bigger, less going with the speed game that McDavid plays. So kind of an interesting set, interesting draw for Vegas. Like I said, Minnesota, they've struggled with San Jose looking for a chance to sweep on the road, and then Edmonton. So, you know, I don't know how it's going to go.
Crazy enough, you could make the case, and not even make the case, I think it's just fact right now, that Edmonton is playing better than all those teams. San Jose in a six-game losing streak, it just seems crazy. They're a huge favorite every night and lose. I know they're not fully healthy. They're, you know, getting some guys in and out of the lineup, so there's something there. But, I mean, Minnesota was basically closer to a playoff spot or in the playoffs a couple weeks ago. Now they've only won three of their last 10 games. So both these teams really sliding. You do expect them to break out of it at some point. And the Golden Knights, too, with a three-game losing streak. So interesting here of three teams that you would think are better on paper than they've been over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go first in the predictions this time. And I don't know what it is, but Minnesota just seems to have Vegas's number. Vegas just isn't... they're just really not playing for much. It's hard to get too fired up, and I don't blame them. You saw this happen last year, that they kind of pulled their foot off the gas at the end of the season once they were locked in. And I mean, they're not locked into a playoff spot, but it'll be almost as big of a story as making the cup final last year if they were to miss the playoffs this year. But Minnesota, you know, they're 4 points back with five to play. They're on life support. I think Minnesota takes them. San Jose, I think they'll get them. I think it's tough to go into San Jose twice in 2 weeks and win.
Five-game losing streak and the Justin Emerson outlook. Yeah, I like it. All right.
I'll give them an overtime loss against Minnesota. They'll get that point. They'll clinch on Friday with a loss. But
I thought I was the negative one. I know. That would be a season-long losing streak coming.
They'll beat the Oilers. So I'm going to go okay. I'm going to go 1-1-1 this week.
All right. I'm going to go I just don't have much faith in the Wild right now. I'm going to go win Minnesota. I can't disagree with anything you said at San Jose. I just feel like the Sharks,
they got to get it together.
Yeah,
they'll
be probably motivated for this game. I feel like they won't want to get embarrassed at home.
Especially
again,
by the team that could be the Athletics writer for the Sharks said the Golden Knights could be a nightmare playoff matchup. And they got to prove something just to themselves, to the fans, that they can beat Vegas in their own building.
Yeah, so I like San Jose there, and then I'll go VGK over Edmonton. So 2-1 for me, one and one for you. We'll have to see how it goes. We haven't really kept track of the predictions. It seems like we've been about the same most of the time.
We'll do that next.
Yeah, time. One thing we have kept track of though is
let's talk about
Shining
this.
Knight, and we might as well not, because I've only won once. You've won every other week, and it looks like you built on it again with
Carlson
this last stretch of game.
William Karlsson had 5 points. Shea Theodore loses points for getting scratched after a weird nap on Monday. So another just dominant performance by Team Emerson here. Just turning into just a powerhouse organization in the Shining Knight competition.
I would never be able to play a game because I know we're going to disagree on this, but I am like anti-nap. Whenever I take a nap, I feel terrible afterwards. I don't feel better at all. So I think I'd be scratched every game. If like you wrote the story about hockey players, how they all take naps, I would feel terrible at every game. I can't do the naps.
Yeah, I could go either way for me.
I thought you were a nap guy.
I I like taking the nap, but it's a lot easier to go take a nap and then cover a hockey game. I'm trying to think of, like, play. If I had to take a nap and then play, because it could just be a... Yeah. I do like tomorrow I'm going to go to morning skate, and then I'm going to come home and take a nap before going out to the game tomorrow night. So, Shining Knight, our second to last one of the regular season. I think you had first pick. You can just have first pick again, because you need it. You need it.
I want to defer. If it's my choice, it's my choice.
All right. If it's my choice to go first, I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to go with a defenseman. I'm going to take Nate Schmidt. I like the way he's been playing defensively lately. He's going to get back onto the points, back onto the score sheet this week, even though apparently I have him losing two games. So I guess maybe not too many points for the team, but let's see some Nate Schmidt.
Yeah, I've thought about Schmidt many times. That one looks good. One thing we have not touched on yet, and I need some information from you to make my pick because I'm so desperate. We've seen Malcolm Subban, six games in a row now?
Six games in a row.
What's going on? Is Fleury going to be back? You think we see him? Or is this all just grasping at straws, kind of like the Pacioretty prognosis was?
I don't have anything that I can really say for certain. I do think that Fleury will be back soon. I wouldn't advise picking him for this just because I'm not that certain. But, you know, Gallant had said last week that they hope to have him on the road trip. Didn't quite make the road trip, but chance that he plays as soon as Friday. Don't know for sure at this point. They're probably just resting him. I think he's okay, but that would be quite the Hail Mary pick if you went with a guy who's not even guaranteed to play.
I was thinking about Subban, honestly, is why I asked you that.
Oh,
but...
Okay. Subban has allowed 4 goals, 3 goals, and 3 goals in his last 3 games.
Yeah, I feel like there might be a little overreaction to that. I feel like he might settle down, but... I don't know who's playing, so I'm going to go ahead and skip that. And I'm going to come full circle since we were talking about me being the positive one this week. I'm going to go with Alex Tuch.
Oh, there you go. Look at that.
He seems like he's playing well. He scored last night to make it a one-goal game.
Yeah, especially if he's going to be playing with Stastny and Stone as he has been. That's a good pick. I like that.
Yeah, I already said I liked the second line. So I will go Alex Tuch, and it will be Nate Schmidt versus Alex Tuch, which I believe were... We each had ranked as in the top three most important Golden Knights at the midseason. I had Schmidt really high. You had Tuch really high. So,
yeah, I don't think I had him in the three. I think I had Schmidt, Carlson, and Fleury as my top three.
Maybe
I had Tuch right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're going to be important going down the stretch, especially once Pacioretty comes back. Tuch to be able to have that scoring from the third line. Schmidt is their best defenseman. He locks up with their top forwards. So, these are two very important players, and we'll see how they match up. Quote unquote head to head.
Yeah, right. Just trying to cut the lead down to 5-2. Just small steps, a little bit at a time. It's been tough, but so these three games, we'll see how the Golden Knights do. We'll see if they can finally clinch a playoff spot. And then we'll come back next week to kind of look at wrap up the whole season, look at their final two games, which are highly unlikely to matter, but a lot of excitement this time of year going into the playoffs. Can't wait to see how it all plays out. Golden Knights sitting at 90 points, third in the Pacific. Looks like that's where they're going to be. For Justin, I'm Case. As always, thanks for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.